Awakening with Brahma Kumaris.
Om Shanti, and welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris, to the final in our conversation series between Sister Jenna from Washington, D.C., in the United States of America, and myself, Carolyn Ward, from Chile. We've talked about a lot of things in these last 8 days. This is our eighth day. And along the way, Sister Jenna has referred to something about our regular daily study. And she's talked about the Murli and Baba, which is the very close and affectionate term that we as a group tend to use for the Supreme Soul, that very loving, affectionate Father. So now, today, we're going to introduce you to where is it that this wisdom actually originates from? What is the source? How are we every day finding new things in which we can dive and study and nurture the reawakening in our souls? So that's today's session. And I'd like to say hello to Sister Jenna.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So, we're going to talk about the role of Brahma Baba from the Brahma Kumaris
standpoint.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Shiv Baba, Shiva, and the relationship between the two and how Brahma Baba was actually able to bring this wisdom into this group of people, 1936, 1937, and then it's grown now all over the world. And whilst there's a group of Brahma Kumars and Kumaris in 130-odd countries, 8,500 centres or so, but it's not just the Brahma Kumars and Kumaris who've benefited from this wisdom. People from all religions, people from all walks of life, all nationalities and cultures, all genders, everyone, or both genders, everyone has been able to take the essential, universal, beautiful truth and apply it in their lives. Mm-hmm. So lead us in this beautiful conversation about the wisdom that we get to work with.
As simple as it is, it had such deep, subtle aspects to it. And I think that when we went back onto the session on drama, if we were to imagine that this is the time period in our drama in which we are being taught directly by the Supreme Soul through Brahma, and we actually have that internal recognition, then all the truth and the wisdom that we have spoken about over the last few shows and the things that trigger your heart at a very pure and deep level, you can embrace it much, much more deeper for transformation to happen. Example is that if you love your mother, then your mother will give you advice. And because you know you have love for her and you know that she is your mother, you trust that what she says is beneficial for you. Mm-hmm. It's not that all the time you agree with what she says, but you trust it's my mother. She will not do anything to hurt me. Of course, it depends on the mother.
Yeah.
but in general, this is the idea. When we talk about the soul, and we talk about God being the Supreme Soul, and having a connection between these two souls, it's not a small thing.
No, it's completely life-changing. It transformed not only the way I felt about myself, it transformed the way I saw the world. Literally, it was a paradigm shift.
I agree.
Like the most fundamental.
Yes. And it seems so simple.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands, millions of people have come into the Brahma Kumari centers. Some are very small and simple. Some are very elaborate and huge. And you come in and you sit there. And a teacher, a brother or a sister, they sit there simply with you, quietly and peacefully. And they tell you who you are. And then it's left up to you to recognize that. That's huge. And so when I think about the fact that we've gotten this method and this technique to reduce sin, that is massive. We've gotten the technique and the method to understand what we've gone through, and now we can embrace it That's massive. Now, where did it come from? It had to have come from someone or something or somewhere. And so when I looked at the drama cycle of time, so to speak, and I look at the journey of the soul as it goes through that entropy of change from fully abundant golden nature to absolutely iron-aged, empty, so to speak, and the soul reaches a point where it starts to turn inwards to look for the answer to itself, it does come to some awakening. It comes to some connection. It comes to some sense of understanding that it needs to do something with itself. And it will find that it's through some aspect of knowledge or through meeting someone that emanated love or peace that melt your borders within your inner walls. Or you heard something and it struck that which was really true in you. Well, if it's happening to us, it happened to Brahma Baba. In 1936, he too was searching for something to fill his own void. But unknown to him, he didn't know that the void would have been the Supreme Soul's incarnation through him, making him the instrument to offer what we call today the Murli. Everything that we have spoken about, everything that all the other yogis of the Brahma Kumaris have spoken about, have come from the foundation of the Murli.
Absolutely.
Now, where does the Murli come from? It came from a supreme consciousness, a supreme father through the body of Brahma. And to this day, the Murli that was spoken, and at least I understood later on that between 1963 to 1969, the Murlis that we have, that we conduct every morning in the classrooms, are the Murlis that were captured originally from when Shiv Baba spoke through Brahma Baba. Mm. Now, that might be hard for some people to accept, but I feel that when you have gone into your realization and experience of a soul, it's no logic needed. The reality and the truth emerges from that experience. Now, in the 30s, when Brahma Baba had his experience of Shiva entering him, and he began to search for the answers, he started to hear things that were based on the knowledge of time, the knowledge of the soul, that God is Shiva, God is light, God is the supreme. I think in the terms of Brahma Baba's life, that he himself had a quest, had a search. And the response to the search was that something got triggered. I recall the story was that he was sitting in his house with one of his gurus. He had about 12 of them. And he got up from that meeting with his guru and went into his room. And he sat, and actually the experience of this ocean of peace, this ocean of silence, somehow entered him and started to give him some information about Shiva. So Brahma Baba, similarly to us, was searching. And he had an experience of God being the Supreme Soul. And so I feel that one of the things that he has left behind for us is an inner subtle ability of how to use your thoughts to have a connection and a union with the Supreme. Mm. Second thing that Brahma Baba has left us as a legacy is a certain kind of a principle and a lifestyle that if you continued to practice, this connection and this relationship with the Supreme would empower you to such an extent you are not affected by good or bad, negative or positive. You become sakshi, a detached observer of your life, and you just enjoy playing your part in the drama. Now, if you think about that, that is a very big gift. A human being can leave one human being, much less millions. And I think that there are things that are offered to us at a particular time. And when we begin to accept them and explore them and find that they help, then you find that it goes to the credit of the person who had actually initially brought you into it. You know, how many people come to the center in Washington and they go, "Oh, I'm so happy my friend brought me to the center. My life has changed." Okay. My life changed because of my parents who came to the Brahma Kumaris when I was 16, and they left an impact on me that I have been watching and been appreciating. Now, where did that get? Where did they get that from? Okay, my mother got it from Daddy Janki, that when she met with Daddy Janki, she had an experience of herself. She had an experience of God as light. Now, where did Daddy Janki get it from? Daddy Janki got it from Brahma Baba. Now, where did Brahma Baba get it from? Brahma Baba got it from Shiva. So who do we remember? Shiva. Who's our teacher? Shiva. But we have physical, practical examples. And the Dadis have remembered the examples and the foots that Brahma Baba took. And to this day, they have try to hold up the divinity and the beauty and the power of this human being that made their lives like diamonds. These ladies, the Dadis, in their 90s, in their 80s, are doing tremendous service through their vibrations. It's hard to see it at times because it's so pure, it's so natural, it doesn't have pomp and splendor and show. But if you have recognition of purity, if you have recognition of peace, you can see it in them and you wonder, where did they get that from? Who is their teacher? They'll always say, Shiv Baba, Shiv Baba. Even though Brahma Baba was their instrument, even though I might have been an instrument for someone, even though you were an instrument for someone, even though Daddy Janki was an instrument for my mother to come to the Brahma Kumaris. But they all say, but it was Shiv Baba. Now the instrument for the Dadis was Brahma Baba. So what we have 72, 74 years later is the legacy of this human being who didn't ask us to remember him. He didn't ask us to keep his image and to do this and to do that. I believe that the Dadis remembered what he offered their lives. And as a result, we see his image and we remember his image. And you know what? There are times I look at Brahma Baba and I can really talk to him and he knows what's going on. When I look at Shiv Baba, I don't have a dialogue as such. It's a point of conscious light that's constantly absolving my sins.
As well as filling you with glorious...
As well as filling me up goodness. With all the qualities. Yeah. So you'll find that when you look at a human being, you feel like it's like that. Like, okay, human being. And the human being has virtues and love and qualities and power, and it feels good. It could be temporary, though. You find that every time you sit in yoga and you go to Shiv Baba, you feel vast, unlimited, no restrictions. But how often are we in that stage? And so sometimes we need an instrument. Sometimes we need someone that we can make a reference to. What's the right way to do this again? Many times I go back to my instrument, who is Sister Mohini, who's head of charge of Americas. I go back and I remember she used to do it like this. And when I observed her doing it, it looked like divinity in action. What makes, I think, our community so beautiful and powerful? And I'm not saying that there aren't challenges in some areas in terms of personality or relationships. Yet at the foundation of our community is the fact that this Murli, the same Murli today, is read in the 8,500 branches in 130 countries.
That's organization for
now,
you.
Now, to me, how many institutions, organizations, or family can agree that this is the Murli to do that day, or this is the teachings I want for you to do that day, and not have someone come up and say, well, I want something else to be read that day? If you've got this unity, why is it that a million people are unified in accepting the teachings of that day? We're not fools. I'm not a fool. I'm not easily brainwashed or influenced by anyone. I look at something to see practically if it has truth in it and if it seems like it's beneficial to many others. And then I make my decision. So when you really look at the fact that you can encourage a million folks to really sit and listen to the Murlis, then it's powerful. So what we get from this coming from the Supreme and Brahma Baba, we actually get what's called the Murli. The Murli is read every morning at every center. When I first went to Mount Abu, I was so open and ready because I knew I was going to meet God Almighty, so to speak. I knew it. I knew I was going to meet the most profound personality I could have ever met in my life. But I wasn't completely following all the guidelines, all the lifestyle principles of a yogi life, but I had a lot of love. And my parents were yogis, and I knew daddies and all of that. When I went and I sat there, waiting for Baba to come, and he enters the body of Daddy Gulza, who is the trance messenger now, I call Daddy Gulza the modern-day oracle. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people know the meaning of the oracle, but without gases and fumes to intoxicate you or to put you into a trance, we are having a modern-day oracle in Mount Abu. Who can say there's a modern-day oracle happening in the 21st century? No other organization can do that. I know we are doing that as a fact because I felt it. When I sat there years ago in Om Shanti Bhavan, nervous as a kitten, I says, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it. I have been so naughty. And I was remembering all the bad actions that I did. It came up in my memory. I was so nervous. I was going to actually get up and get out of that hall before Baba would enter Daddy Gulza. And then a young girl next to me says, Jenna, relax. Baba's a cool dude. Don't worry about it. And I went, I'm definitely with the wrong group of people. This is not where I want to be. I'm about to get up from my chair. And Bab Dada enters Daddy Gulza. And the whole, I felt this wave of coolness, like someone sprinkled something over me. And all that feeling that I went through of my own stuff that I've done against my own self vanished. I swear to you, I felt that. Carolyn, I felt that. I knew that was God that entered that room because he didn't care what I did. He didn't care what I went through, what I didn't go through. I'm the one that have to sort out my issues, and that's why the Murli is important for me to be able to soften, to reduce the intensity of the trauma that I've put myself through because of the vices. And so when I go into the Murli, I know it's gently and gradually removing the burden of the sins that are on my head. And I don't mean sins like sin, but things that I've done that were driven by the vices. That the Murli is helping me to redirect how I should be behaving now. I felt that. When Baba entered that room, I can't tell you how nervous I was. I was going to get up and leave. I says, I can't do it. I can't meet God. And as I was going to get up,
everything changed.
So in the BK classes, every morning, Monday through Sunday, there's a Murli class. Monday through Saturday is the Sakar Murli, which are the Murlis from 1963 to 1969, when Brahma Baba was still alive with us physically. On Sundays, it's known as the Avyakt Murlis, which is what I will share with you some points today. And those are the Murlis that came after Brahma Baba left from 1969 to present through our modern-day oracle, Daddy Gulza. And so in Baba's Murli, he focused on this one for Holi, on anger. This is something we all need methods of how to cure.
Yeah.
So basically, you would sit in class, you would have your notebook, you'd have done meditation before the Murli started, and then the teacher or the instrument would start to conduct the Murli for you. But you would be connected to Baba. You and Baba are now connected. So in this Murli, Baba asks, what is the reason for anger? What is the seed of anger? Constantly keep your future form in front of you.
So future form being this beautiful jewel that you're becoming again.
Future form is a soul without anger. Your future form is so beautifully decorated and it's cheerful. Why are you getting angry now? Look at Brahma Baba in front of you. Why? Father Shiva is incorporeal anyway. But Brahma Baba was corporeal. He was like you. Like you, he also had the crown of responsibility, and yet he constantly had a smiling and cheerful face because he conquered these vices and became an example while having a body and doing everything. Is your responsibility greater than that of Brahma Baba? In front of the responsibility of Brahma Baba, your responsibility is nothing. And you saw Brahma Baba till the end, and he's speaking particularly to the dadis. You saw my behavior, he's saying, till the end. With the vibrations of the Karmateet stage, Brahma Baba became an Avyakt angel.
The vibrations of the Karmateet stage, the stage where you're beyond the influence, the pull, the attraction of anything. You're stable in your own presence, your own truth. Nothing can pull you off that state.
Over a long period of time, Brahma Baba knew that if he allowed his feelings to get affected, he would lose his serenity. And so that was more important than the situation. And so you will now not take back from Bab Dada the gift that you have given him, will you? Bab Dada understands that while engaged in activities, there are sometimes circumstances. Some have even written in their result that their voice becomes a little loud, that sometimes their mood becomes a little forceful. So you see, you get an example of the Murali that it guides you into understanding what you've gone through, what you have felt, what's happening up here. And then Baba helps you to know the seed, the foundation. And he said in this small little paragraph, don't forget your future form. Cheerfulness and beauty should constantly be on your face. Why? Your future golden age form is an abundant spirit, is what we call in India a deity. Now, would a deity be yelling and screaming at this time? No. So he says, remember your future form and stop breaking your religion of peace for small things. Sometimes we get angry just because the person
is late
or left the thing off the table or looked at me funnily or didn't finish what they're supposed to do, and you lose something. You lose your sovereignty. That's huge. Imagine a king falling off of his throne because you left the toothpaste cap off the toothpaste and you yelled at that person. Was that really worthwhile? Don't lose your serenity. It is your birthright.
Mm. So, you know, what's so great about that for me? You read that. We've been talking for 25 minutes before you read that, or 20 minutes. And nice conversation. You know, we went into some really interesting points. But when you read that, for me, the atmosphere changes. The words are simple. Even you could maybe read those words somewhere else, maybe.
Yeah.
Someone else could say them. But when I tune into that, I feel a completely different
energy. Vibration is different, yeah.
You know?
And intent is different.
Yeah.
Comes from a different intent.
It's very simple, and that's what is challenging, because you go, well, hang on, wouldn't God make it more complex? He'd understand the complexity.
He wouldn't make it high.
He would simplify, make it easy to get, easy to understand. He doesn't want to make it difficult for us, and it's not difficult, actually.
We've been through enough. I think that we've been through way more than our share at the moment, and Baba's love is gentle and it's simple, and it's a matter of time until everyone comes to realize it, really.
And this is the end of our conversation series, which has been,
it's been great.
Like a gift.
What a great fortune.
Yeah, really unexpected and really a great gift for me. And I hope that you've found the same kind of gift for you. We've certainly really enjoyed being able to explore this beautiful knowledge in your company and in the company of the One. We hope that we see you in our centers. Certainly come and visit visit again and again. The atmosphere is rich with this same energy because people are remembering God, remembering Baba every day, many times a day. And that atmosphere is in the walls, it's in the floors, it's in the smiles that hopefully you'll see when you open the door, which hopefully you'll see when the door opens. So take good care. Really take care of your spiritual journey. Take care of your own inner divinity. It's real and it's your greatest resource. It's what you have for making the life that is this life. All blessings, all joy, And join Awakening with Brahma Kumaris again tomorrow. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but no doubt it'll be wonderful. Thanks so much. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
If you wish to discuss your problem or have a question to ask or want to know your nearest Rajyoga Meditation Center, call us on 099-9974-555. Om Shanti.